I've always been in support of the Olympics if the finances make sense, and I was quite frustrated on Tuesday, as I said, that we weren't getting the proper answers. What's transpired for me between Tuesday and Monday is I got some additional financial information that I'm more confident in. Is the process, has there been missteps? Yes, tons of missteps. But a very valid point was brought to me is to say, we're talking about 6 to 7 weeks to get the true financial deal in June, whether or not it makes sense. And to make that decision, if it's in the benefit of Calgary, we should move forward. If it's not, I agree, end it. And I think that's a better decision, doing it financially. And that gets kind of the emotion out of it. There's been a lot of misinformation of how much it's really going to cost and what are the benefits. And as I explained this morning, the numbers are there. It all depends if we get the deal. But the key thing to note is even the $30, it's already on Twitter, is so we're going to waste $30 million by June. That's not the case. I asked the question bluntly, it'll be less than $1 million, maybe even less, to get the answer. And if it's not financially a smart thing to do, let's end it in June. Then we give the money back. It didn't cost the $30 million. If it makes sense, let's go ahead with the plebiscite. At least people will have the right answers to make their decision, because right now they don't have the right answer.
Ward Sutherland, councillor from Ward 1, answering a question asked by our next guest, Lucas Myers from 660 News, joins us. Of course, you can read Lucas on their site and our site as well. He does a lot of work for us. I'll start here. You and I did not expect this today,
no.
Did we?
I told you last week that based on the type of commentary and the type of debate that we've been hearing from Tuesday from that PFC meeting, that I really thought it was over, because Sutherland, who you heard, made it pretty clear, not just during PFC, but also on Twitter, saying, "I'm voting no." Mm-hmm. And the other kind of major swing vote was Diane Colley-Urquhart, and she never full on said, "I'm voting no," but she did say this may be time to put the brakes on. She certainly said going in on Tuesday, "I think I have all the information that I need," and the way she was speaking certainly indicated that she was going from her original yes on forming the BidCo, that she was going to be that number eight vote, you know, that critical eighth vote that Councillor Farrell would need to end it, because it was obviously Farrell's motion on Tuesday that led to today's vote.
And she would have. And I don't want to get too deep into the politics, mm-hmm. but Drew Farrell would not have brought this forward if she did not think she could win it, or is that...
I suspect not. Okay. I mean, there's no real way to know. I mean, because to be perfectly fair to Councillor Farrell, she did say, I can't, you know, predict...
What did she vote today?
She voted no.
Here's
what's important to note about the breakdown.
Yeah.
It was 8-6. Excuse me, 9-6. It was 8-6 to form BidCo. That's because Evan Woolley was absent, so he was there today. The same six who voted no for BidCo voted no. There wasn't any swings that way.
Okay.
And actually, the eight who voted for BidCo all voted yes, along with Evan Woolley, who was absent for the BidCo vote. So I think there was a collective response in the media gallery up at City Hall, because when Sutherland started talking, because he was the first one to talk on this particular on the debate after they voted to bring it forward, because they had a ton of public hearings that they had to get to, but they decided to move the vote up. And once he said, once he got his questions from administration, and the way that he said it, and he said, "This is the first time in 5 years that I've changed my mind." When he said that, there was you could feel it upstairs. There was a collective, "Oh, so that's how this is going." And then it was, you know, you're staring downstairs to see what the next person's going to say. Is anybody else going to change their mind? What's going to happen here? But when he said that, it was like, okay, this has a real shot at surviving, and it did.
So, Lucas, how many changed their minds, I guess?
Well, officially, if you're comparing it to the BidCo vote, to 8-6 to form the BidCo.
No, I was thinking more of the 9-1.
Oh, I see. 9-1 was simply to have the vote today.
So there would have been people who voted to have the vote today that would be for an continuing the Olympic.
They voted.
So it wasn't nine people that said, "Oh no, I'm changing my mind."
No, not at all.
So what happened over the weekend? I mean, we know the athletes mobilized on Friday, and we'd love to give them all the credit.
Chamber of Commerce came out on Friday. I think that came out Friday afternoon. I think Ward mentioned that specifically.
Yes, he did.
He said the fact that the Chamber of Commerce, that the business community wants to see this through, I think that played a role. And he also mentioned that there was a lot of vitriolic comments that were being made on both sides of the debate. He mentioned that there were death threats. today during council, which was quite alarming.
Okay, hold on. He received death threats.
He did not say specifically. We asked him about that afterwards. He did not say that they were. He didn't get into who specifically received death threats because we asked him that in the scrum. You mentioned the death threats thing because he said that on council that death threats were popping up. He did not say specifically who received death threats. He did not say specifically if he received a death threat, but he said that any potential threats were forwarded to city security, which they were.
Sure.
So he didn't get into any specifics about that, but he did mention that he said the term death threats. So, and apparently those were forwarded to security. So I think when he talked about what happened over the weekend, that there was a lot of, obviously a lot of high emotion on both sides of this debate. And so of course the people out there are going to, they're going to think that there was a lot of wrangling over the weekend and counselors talking to counselors and things of that nature, which are very well possible. You're never really going to find that out. Or at least now we're not going to find out exactly what happened over the weekend, but clearly Ward gave his reasons for switching back. Mm. And Diane Collier-Urquhart ultimately decided to stay on the yes side, and Evan Woolley, he was absent again at the BidCo vote, but he decided along with the other yeses that let's get the numbers out in June. And let's move forward to having a plebiscite. And they also voted to form a new subcommittee for oversight as well.
Okay, so when does that kick in?
So right now, it's a good question. So next Monday, they're going to bring this back. Council decided to move the terms of reference on the subcommittee as well as, go over public engagement, plebiscite options. More of that's going to be discussed on Monday, so a week from today.
Lucas Myers from 660 News, our guest here in studio. Will?
Just around the circles you run, and a little bit different from us, obviously mm-hmm. we're very sport-focused. Mm-hmm. What has the feel been on this entire thing? Obviously, there has been a little bit of vitriol, and there was mentions today of misinformation mm-hmm. and kind of being guided in different directions. What do you get the sense of the feel that, that the people that you've talked to about this Olympic bid and kind of what happens now?
I think if council could have given a message today, it was like, look, we can do this right. There have been a number of bureaucratic missteps. There have been a number of a couple moments of miscommunication between the different orders of government. There's a massive amount of mistrust with the International Olympic Committee mm-hmm. that came out from a number of counselors today saying that they're going into bed with them is not exactly the best idea. Let's re-put this. Counselor Gondek's point was, if we're going to do an Olympic bid, let's put it into our four-year plan and think about 2030. Obviously, she stayed on the no side. So I think that today was kind of a temperature-taking day to kind of bring the volume down a bit. There was a lot of things that were said. Things got quite heated on Tuesday between Councillor Farkas and Mayor Nenshi, Councillor Chu and Mayor Nenshi with regards to this whole debate. I think today was kind of, let's all chill. Let's all agree to calm down for a second here and develop a plan, see what the numbers are in June. And then once those numbers come in, then that's the next big decision, obviously, is because they might bring in another motion. Like another counselor might bring in another motion and say, okay, we've got the June numbers. Let's bring forward another reaffirm supporting vote. That could even happen before a plebiscite. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So but I think to answer your question, Will, the issues that have frustrated counselors who are against the Olympics still exist.
Right.
Distrust with the IOC, miscommunication with other orders of government, the allegations of favoritism and bias within the administration to keep going forward with the vote. I think those are still there. And
right.
I think now going forward, hopefully the subcommittee on oversight will do some positive work to try to quell those. I think it's very likely that there's some on council who will never be convinced going back to the other side. But today, council decided to move forward, and now we'll see what comes out of the discussions on Monday with regards to public engagement, as well as what those June numbers are, as well as when exactly are we going to have a plebiscite? How is it going to be worded? So there's perhaps some potential for the entire this escalation to go back down to calming a little bit.
I apologize for going back a little bit, but yes. Maybe for some people that weren't caught up in what happened this weekend, Rob mentioned it, kick off the show at 2 o'clock. You talked about it. What, if you could, summarize what the Chamber of Commerce said about this?
Basically, the Chamber came out after the Olympics. So the way the timeline for Friday worked out was quite interesting. Obviously, the Calgary's Olympic community showed a united front on Friday at Winsport. They all came out and made their case. Mm. You know, Mark Tewksbury said, you know, we've been kind of off to the sidelines a little bit, and Tuesday was a game changer, so let's get involved. Shortly after that, a few hours, 2 or 3 hours after that, the Calgary Chamber of Commerce comes out with a news release saying, keep going. Don't stop now. The business community is fascinated about this. If it's not the right deal for this, basically echoing the proponents of going forward. It was along those lines of, let's just wait and see. It would be quite premature.
Kind of like a why give up now, right?
It would be premature. Exactly. The thought of it would be premature to end the process now without getting some more thorough cost analysis. So that's what the chamber came out with on Friday.
So you, Rob asked you kind of like what's next, and you mentioned next Monday. So what are you expecting to hear on Monday?
I think it'll be, well, they have to get the terms of reference with regards to this new subcommittee. I mean, they've got to figure out exactly how that's going to work. So I think what they're going to do on Monday is kind of flesh out how that subcommittee is going to work. It's going to be made up of 4 councillors and the mayor. Do you maybe bring in some outside stakeholders on that, some other people to go on that committee? Then they'll figure out how that's going to work, and then they'll talk a little bit more about public engagement and kind of re-look at the plebiscite issue. And I just want to reiterate that the BidCo funding, the $30 million for the BidCo, that's not contingent on a plebiscite. That being said, if a 2026 Calgary Games wants provincial financial support, you need to have a plebiscite. So in order for this to go forward, folks, just to be make it very, very simple, a plebiscite must happen in order for the 2026 Olympics to happen, because there's no one who's ever said that we could have the Olympics without provincial financial support. This has to be a multi-government supportive effort.
660 News is Lucas Myers in studio with us as we're talking about what happened. Today's city council votes to continue to look at a potential 2026 Olympic bid. Where does BidCo come into this, and when would we see one put together?
That's a great question, and I think they're going to go over that a little bit more on Monday as well. Exactly. Okay. the formulation, because we had some questions after today. About, because Ward Sutherland mentioned it's going to cost another $1 million, not $30 million of BidCo,
right,
to figure out what those June numbers are going to be. So now the question becomes, so is it the city administration analysis into those June numbers? Is it a combination of the city will maybe get the ball rolling, and then the BidCo formation, once it's formed, will jump on to figure out those June numbers? That's a great question, and I think we might get a little bit more insight next week into that as well.
I mean, just an opinion on this is, really don't want to go into a plebiscite without a BidCo form, without a vision from a leader in that. Okay.
Right.
So we're all in the same
because, and that would work along the line of Nenshi's thinking of, it can't just too simply be a yes-no situation. You want to have a more thorough idea of what exactly who's all involved in this whole thing.
I wanted to ask you, my understanding was, for those of us who are vested in the grassroots in this community, and that some of the long-standing items that have been there but have been unfunded, like the Fieldhouse, things, came up today.
They did.
And there might be some positive news, regardless of the Olympics, on projects like that.
Because those are the questions that's interesting. That came up from, both Councillor Southern and I believe Councillor DeMong asked about that as well, which is how much, the multi-million dollar cost it's going to take in the current city of Calgary queue. With regards to how much a field house is going to cost, and the upkeep of certain facilities, and the hundreds of millions that are going to be needed. So I think that played a lot into the vote that occurred today. The fact that you have these currently, and the field house is the number one unfunded
project in Canada.
Absolutely.
Calgary,
yeah. And that actually led to a discussion of where you could potentially have the opening ceremonies if you did have a 2026 games.
Right.
Could you have it at Stampede, or could you have it at a completely different looking McMahon?
Right.
Right. So, that came up as well. And that's another part of the proponent's argument, is that you have these legacy pieces from 88, or you have McMahon Stadium or what have you, that have to be upgraded. And so this is a major possible way of upgrading those facilities. Then of course the other way around it is, well, if we need an Olympic bid to upgrade these facilities to make the city more accessible, for the Paralympic Games, then, I mean, what does that say about us that we would need the Olympics to do that? So you see how you can play both sides of the coin a little bit, but that was reintroduced today as well, and that was actually quite interesting to hear.
Lucas, let me ask you this, because this shouldn't be portrayed as entertainment or a drama or anything like that, and the next question will do just that.
Yes.
But who, in your opinion, are the big players to keep our eyes on watching moving forward? Who are the people that we should be paying attention to when they, I mean, they're all important, I grant
sure.
you that, but it seems to me like Southern...
On council specifically?
Yeah, and even around, because, you know, now that it seems to me that Chamber of Commerce has a new leader, do they not? Did they not get a new head of the chamber?
I'd have to go back and look at that. Yes, the past president did step down. I'm probably getting my names mixed
but
up.
There's
I think
new,
Legs, there's, Legs stepped down. I have to go back and revisit
but there's
I don't
new,
have the names
there's
in front
new
of me.
Leadership
there is new leadership.
There.
Yes, there's new leadership at the
you
chamber,
know, Sport,
absolutely.
Sport Calgary, I know, is trying to get their voice. Mm-hmm. Sport Tourism has a voice in this. But who do you see as the players on the chessboard?
Well, I mean, obviously the mayor is an easy one. But in terms of those 15, I always like to go back to the 15 votes on council. And I think the players are still the ones that are most susceptible to potentially change their minds. And I think Councillor Sutherland and Collier Card are still those people, because I don't see how the current no's, so Farkas, DeMong, Farrell, Gondek, Maglioka, and another who I'm missing at the moment, Farrell, Chu, I don't see them changing their mind anyway whatsoever at all. So I think Sutherland's quite important. I think Kyle Urquhart is quite important in terms of the potential councillors. I'm obviously incredibly, incredibly curious to see what the actual makeup of BidCo is.
I am too.
I think whatever those names are, yeah. I think are going to be very interesting.
Especially the person at the top.
Sure.
Especially the person
absolutely.
At the top.
Absolutely.
I mean, the rest of the group is,
yeah.
you know, it was a pretty, I thought it was a very impressive group they put together on the bid exploration
on CBEC,
committee.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I
think they were told that they weren't going to be part of BidCo, were they not?
I kind of
indicated.
Well, no councillors are going to be part of BidCo, if I'm not mistaken either.
Okay.
So I think there's I think you're correct. I think one of the terms of reference was that the BidCo would not be made up of anyone on CBEC. I'm pretty sure it would still be the representatives from the orders of government as well, perhaps as some other stakeholders. I don't believe anyone. I could be wrong. I'll have to double check that. But I don't believe anyone from CBEC would be part of that. So those names on the BidCo committee, I think, will be very fascinating. I think that'll be interesting to see the two councillors who I mentioned. So I think those will be some pretty important names. And I'm also curious to see exactly what the wording of the plebiscite is going to be.
Just to finish up with you, one, we mentioned, you know, the chamber coming out, the athletes. Was there any mention of public participation? Because that was the message we were pushing here. That was the message the athletes were pushing, was let your counselor hear from you. Go
yes.
on. Was there any sense that that worked? Was there any influence there?
Oh, I would imagine it did.
Okay.
I think...
So the public was heard in this case?
In terms of sending notes to counselors,
yeah.
I can't see how it wasn't.
Okay.
I think based on... I mean, Ward gave an inkling into that with he tweeted an email that he had received over the weekend that was quite worded strongly. And I think a lot of counselors got that. I think the groundswell of getting your opinion, getting your thoughts out there was quite strong over the weekend. I think there were a lot of counselors who looked at a lot of emails and a lot of tweets this weekend.
Right.
And decided to vote the way that they voted. And I think it's likely only going to get stronger as this process moves down the road. Cause it's an incredibly, you know, just covering it from my perspective, again, kind of having a both on the news and the sports side from just my individual position. This is an issue that a lot of people feel really strongly about. And I don't think it's going to tamper down at all.
I can agree with that. and I guess the last one on this is, because there's a lot of misinformation, as being someone on the pro side, my sense is I just want to get to a point where I can have the information to make
right.
a decision. Is there a pro side that just give it to me at all costs? Because I think there's a on the negative side, on the no side, which
yes.
I guess by virtue of the term is negative, but those who
yes.
don't want it don't appear to be interested in a conversation. Is that fair? Am I representing the two sides correctly?
I would contend that there's a significant portion of those against the Olympics who want to see this ended full stop. I think that's very fair. And I think there are I'm sure you've talked about the very legitimate issues with hosting a games with regards to cost overruns, obviously a relationship with the IOC.
Those are all realities. Those are all
sure.
You can't hide.
You cannot avoid those. For a number of people, that is enough. And I think so. Those are just the kind of the those are general concerns. Those are things that are just all consistently wide ranging concerns.
Right.
Then you bring in the current economic status of the provincial and federal governments with the amount of debt that they're expected to accumulate, the deficits that they're currently in. Is it fiscally responsible to try to pursue something like this with that clear data of cost overruns, et cetera, et cetera? So I think there is a significant portion of the anti-hosting side that would certainly say, I'm done. This is not right now, and it's not right for 2030, and I don't know when it's going to be right.
Right.
Then I think there's also a portion of the crowd that would say, I don't want to do this, but at least I'm willing to let me see what those June numbers are. Let me see what the plebiscite says. But it's still going to be difficult to convince me. I think people who are against it, you're going to have to bring them a lot of information to change their mind, a ton. Because there is an amount out there that says, I don't want it. I don't want it.
I agree.
Don't continue whatsoever. This is dumb. This is pointless. It's economically completely untenable. And then there's another portion that says, I really don't like it, but hey, I'll see what you say. Show me what you got in June. I think there's a significant portion there as well.
Lucas, appreciate this. Thank you for coming in and helping us with this. I know we'll be talking as it plays itself out, but thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
Lucas Meyer from 660 News, kind enough to join us in studio to bring us up to speed on what transpired today in City Council. You can bet you'll hear from Lucas more as we get closer and closer on this story. We'll take